want to encourage you this morning to have your Bible open to Psalm 4. We're going to be studying from the fourth Psalm this morning as we take a look at what David would have to say about how we can find joy and how we can find peace even in the darkest and most dangerous hours of our lives. So good to see everyone as we're assembled together to worship God on this is His day, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And grateful also, this being the fourth Sunday of the month, we're going to have our song service this afternoon. And that is a special time for us to come and join our hearts and our voices together in an hour of worship unto God in song. And look forward to that. Hope you'll come back and be with us. As we announced on Wednesday night, we have flyers for our vacation Bible school that are printed up and available. Here's the thing, if you pick some up on Wednesday night, you've got a bad copy. There was a very serious omission in that, so discard that and pick up a new one, and let's be busy inviting people to come. The omission was the date for our VBS wasn't on the flyer, so you hand that out, they're not going to know when to come. So pick up one of the newer ones that are available, and let's be busy inviting people to come and to be with us during that week. Looking forward to that exciting week. As we're studying Psalm 4 this morning, we're going to be looking at a psalm that was written by David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but written by David during a very troubling time in his life. This psalm is believed to have been composed on the same occasion as the preceding psalm, Psalm 3. And Psalm 3 in the heading tells us that it was written when David was fleeing from his son Absalom. And that will help us to put this psalm in its context, and doing so will help us to understand more fully what it is that David is saying in this psalm, what he's talking about in the references that he makes in the 8 verses of this psalm, and will, most importantly, help us to find the proper application to our lives today. Because this psalm, like many psalms, can be looked over in favor of ones that are more familiar to us. But the 150 psalms, all of them are a treasure to us as the children of God. And we need to turn to them. We need to read and study them. We need to mark the ones that deal with different situations that we will find in our lives and go back to them when we're facing those situations. This is a psalm that will help us when we're going through those dark nights in our lives, when we're going through those times of trouble. Psalm 3 very likely was a morning song to be sung in the morning. If you look at verse 5, I laid down and slept, I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Well, Psalm 4 seems to be an evening psalm. Seems to be a song that would be sung in the evening before one laid down to rest. You look here in Psalm 4 and at verse 8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The setting of both of these psalms, written by King David, not in the palace, comfortable there in his palace, under the watchful care of his guard, but written when he was out in the wilderness, when he was fleeing from Jerusalem, fleeing from his home, from his palace, because his own son was revolting against him. His own son had been successful, not only in turning a great number of the people against David, but even turning some of his advisors and friends against him. So David is out in the wilderness, running for his life, fleeing from, of all people, his son, and knowing that some of his trusted friends and advisors had practiced treachery, had turned their backs on David and were intending him harm. So he and his companions with him are out there as night approaches, as the sun goes down, they're there under the cover of darkness, looking for protection, knowing that their lives are in danger. That's the circumstances under which this psalm was written. Now let's read through these verses, and let's put ourselves in the place of David. We're going to read through it, let's think about what David was going through, and then we're going to go back and we're going to look at this psalm. It's easily divided into 3 sections. We're going to go back and we're going to study this psalm and dig into it see what we need to learn from it. Let's read though, Psalm 4, verses 1 through 8. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. I hope you caught it as we were reading through this short psalm that it's going to move David from a moment, from a time of great distress in verse 1 to a time of great joy and gladness and peace where he can rest in verses 7 and 8. Now there have been a lot of us who have been where David is in the beginning of this psalm, right? In a time of distress, in a time of trouble, in a time of sorrow, and we want to find ourselves where David ends up, don't we? Well, what David does in this psalm is he shows us how to get there. This wasn't the first time he was out in the wilderness running from an enemy. This wasn't the first time that David was facing this kind of peril. So if we could bring David into our midst and we could ask him, David, how do you get through times like this? How do you weather these dark nights? How do you get through these moments in your life? Perhaps Psalm 4 would be the information that David would give. Perhaps Psalm 4 would be the answer he would give to us. So let's look at this psalm with this in view, with this in mind. How do we get from that time of distress to that time of joy and comfort? Well, let's look first at this first section, verses 1 through 3. We have David's plea unto God. David starts out, it says that he cried out to God, hear me when I call, O God. This is how he is praying, hear me when I call. And this word here, hear me, it literally means answer me. Respond to me. Acknowledge that I'm here. That's the way it's worded in the New American Standard and English Standard Version. Answer me when I call. This is no ordinary ritualistic evening prayer that David's going through. No, David is pouring his heart out to God. He has a very serious matter. It's a very desperate plea that he is bringing before God for God's attention, for God's mercy. Look at verse 1. For God's answer to his prayer, for God's deliverance. Hear me when I pray. David says that he was in distress. He was in distress. He was in peril. This word distress is translated from the Hebrew word sar, which refers to something that is narrow, a very tight place. Have you ever heard anyone realize that they're in a tough situation? They say, we're in a tight spot. I'm in a tight spot here. That's really the idea of this Hebrew word. I'm pressed in on all sides. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like life was squeezing in on you? We've got financial problems. We've got family problems. Problems on the job. Problems with my neighbors. Everything is pressing in on me. Lord, deliver me out of this. That's the way David was feeling. He was feeling like he was being pressed in. The Hebrew, it literally means to be pressed into a corner. Pressed into a tight spot, pressed into a corner. And it has reference to the feeling of dismay that would arise from a distressful situation. David's son is revolting against him, taking his throne, or at least attempting to take his throne away from him. And David knows the only way that this is likely going to end is for one of them to die. And that's the situation that he's in. He and his own son in this predicament. I am in distress. But David says of God, but you have relieved me. You have relieved me. I like to read the Psalms in the King James Version. The King James Version around the same time of Shakespeare, that language I really enjoyed, especially with the Psalms. But in the King James Version here it says that God has enlarged me. God has enlarged me. We might look at that and wonder, well, what does that mean? He's in distress and God has enlarged him. Let's think about the meaning of the Hebrew word, though, for distressed. Distressed is to be pressed into a corner, to be put into a tight spot. What has God done? He's taken him out and he's put him in a wide spot. He's enlarged where he can stand. Literally, he's delivered him. He's delivered him out of that tight spot. The Hebrew word means to broaden or to be wide. So the King James gets it right, although we have a hard time making that transference of enlargement to deliverance, but really gets it right with the Hebrew word. He's been delivered. God delivered him from the tight corner that he was in, and God set him in a broadened place. Now, David might not feel that way at this particular time, at this moment when he's fleeing from Absalom, but like we said, this isn't the first time David's gone through this. Every time David's faced this, God has delivered him. And so David can pray in faith, knowing that God hears him and knowing that God is going to deliver him. And here's the point. God will do the same thing for us if we will ask Him. God will do the same thing for us if we will call upon Him, if we will plead with Him, if God will hear our prayer. God can deliver us from distress and give us peace if we will call upon Him. We see also in verses 2 and 3, we see some of what was adding to David's distress, adding to David's frustration. The people over which he had been reigning, they were saying evil things about David. They were turning his honor and his glory into shame. In following after Absalom, they were loving that which was worthless. They were seeking after falsehood and lies. That's what Absalom was doing when he was getting the people to come around him. He's saying, I'll give you justice. My father isn't going to do it. I'll give you justice. I'll deliver for you. I'll try your case for you. He was lying to them in order to get them on his side. And here's David outside of the city having to say, how can my people have turned on me? They're following after wickedness. They're following after lies, which of all people is coming from his own son. We see how this is breaking his heart. But in verse 3, David hasn't lost his faith. Although the people have lost their faith in him, David has not lost his faith in God. Look at verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. David couldn't do anything about what Absalom was saying about him and about what all the people were believing. David had to flee. He had to get away. And there may come times in our lives when people say things about us, treacherous things, terrible things, and we're not necessarily in a position to try to go and address that and make all those things right. You know what? God knows who we are. God knows the kind of people that we are. And that ought to be enough. That ought to suffice. David says, I know who God will have, and I'm that kind of man. And so I can pray unto God, and God will hear me. And again, we have that same promise as God's people today. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Here's David out in the wilderness, running for his life. The people won't have him, but his God still will. You know what? When it seems like everything else has been taken away from us, God hasn't been. Prayer has not been taken away from us, the avenue of prayer. Now, we can neglect prayer.
But no one can take prayer away from us. We always have it, and we need to use it at all times, but especially when we're going through those dark nights in our life, when we're going through those times of trial. God wants us to pray unto Him. So here's David's plea unto God. And we already know where it's going to go, as we've read the psalm. We know it's going to lead to joy, and it's going to lead to peace. But how do we get there? How do we get from distress to joy and peace? Well, again, David's done this before. David's been out in the wilderness running from Saul. So when he has to do it from Absalom, he's done it before. He's been in this situation before. So again, if we could ask David, David, how do you make it through times like this? Perhaps he would take us here to Psalm chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Because there are six things that are mentioned in these two verses. Things that you and I have to do. Things that you and I must continue to do if we're going to weather the storms of life with joy and with peace. It's what we want. How do we get it? Well, David says, number one, you stand in awe of God. I realize some of the translations say to be angry. And this is the verse, by the way, from which Paul quotes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. But literally, the Hebrew text, the word means to tremble or to quake. And it could have reference to doing it in anger. But as the King James Version and some other translations render it, the New American Standard Version, it could also mean to tremble in fear, to stand in awe. What's our theme this year? Walking in the fear of the Lord. David, how do we make it through times of distress? How do we find joy and peace in our life? The first thing he says is you keep walking in the fear of the Lord. You remember who God is. And you remember your place before Him. Because that hasn't changed. Maybe outward circumstances in our life has changed. Maybe friends have become enemies. Maybe a nation is falling apart before our very eyes. Maybe problems are going on in our family, with our job, whatever it may be. Nothing has changed with God. We must stand in awe of Him. We must walk in the fear of the Lord. Those who fear the Lord have nothing else to fear, do they? If you think about it, if we walk in the fear of the Lord, we don't have anything else to fear. Man can do nothing to us. Standing in awe, walking in the fear of the Lord is going to help us to put everything in perspective. It's going to bring us back to our true center. It's going to help us to find true north. The first thing we do is make sure that we are walking in the fear of the Lord. And, as the verse continues, do not sin. It is never right to sin. It's never okay to sin. God would never, under any circumstances, have us to sin. He says just the opposite in 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. When we are going through a time of distress, and out of anger, out of frustration, out of hopelessness, we commit a sin. You know what we've done? We've compounded the problem. We haven't made it any better. We've only made it worse. And so when you're going through these dark nights in your life, when you're going through these storms, you don't sin. You don't do things that would make it worse. You do what is right. You know, Satan knows how to tempt each and every one of us, doesn't he? He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows exactly how to get us. And you know what? For some of us, all Satan has to do is just turn up the heat. He just has to make our life unpleasant. Just the least little bit. And it throws us completely off and we begin to do exactly what Satan would want us to do. We begin to sin before God, reacting to what's going on around about us. No, when we're going through these times, let's remember, we are not to sin. Third, he says, commune with your own heart. Again, I like the way the King James Version renders this. That's what I've put in the chart here. The King James Version renders this phrase, commune with your own heart upon your own bed. It's not a time for us to go talking to anyone and everyone who will listen about our problems. That's where we start gossiping, isn't it? That's where we start gossiping. That's where we start saying things that shouldn't be said. No. It's good that we have trusted friends that we can go to and talk to. And indeed we should. We should go to our brethren. We should go to our friends, that close circle, and talk to them, get wisdom and help from them. But when we go and we talk to everybody, you know, every time we talk about it, we relive it over and over again, don't we? And we make it worse and worse and worse, not better and better. Commune with your own heart on your own bed. Going through these tough times is a great time for us to do a personal inventory, so to say. We need to do that from time to time. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Well, it's a perfect time for us to examine ourselves when we're going through a tough time. Am I a part of the problem? I need to think about that. How's all this happened? How's all this come about? I need to think about that. What's the solution to this? Sometimes the solution comes when we just spend some quiet time thinking about the matter to ourselves. What's the solution? So David would say, commune with your own heart. Commune with your own heart. Meditate, ponder this thing very seriously. The American Standard, the English Standard Version says to ponder. The New American Standard Version says to meditate. Fourth, be still. The English Standard Version says to be silent. But what it means is calm down. Calm down. Again, sometimes all the devil has to do is just upset our world just a little bit. And we get madder than a wet hen. And we're all wound up with nowhere to go. God in His Word says, calm down. Calm down. You know what? As we said before, God hasn't gone anywhere. God is still in control. The prophet Habakkuk brings a problem before God and God's solution. Habakkuk cannot imagine God bringing someone like the Babylonians in to destroy His own people. It's unthinkable. How could God do this? Well, after God tells him what He's going to do to the Babylonians, Habakkuk 2 verse 20 says, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." We have a song based on this verse in our songbook. And it doesn't mean be quiet in church. What it means is be calm. Trust God. He's where He's always been. He's on His throne in heaven. He's in control of the nations of this world. He's in control. Calm down. Everything's going to be okay. We might not have all the answers, but that's what walking by faith is. We don't have to have all the answers. We just have to remember that God is on His throne, that God is in control. Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and verse 10. This passage needs to be remembered with this point as well. Psalm 46 and at verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. We are to be calm. And we are to continue worshiping God. When we're going through times of distress, when we're going through troubles in our life, it is not the time to stop going to church. As a matter of fact, that's when we need it more than ever before. God is always worthy of our worship and praise. Now let me say this again, and you get it, because it's important. God is always worthy of our worship and praise. Because we offer it to Him not because of how we are being benefited by God. We worship and praise God simply because of who He is. And that has nothing to do with what we're going through right now. We worship God primarily because of who He is. Whenever everything was taken away from Job, he refused to curse God and die. He blessed God. He praised God. He didn't understand, but he blessed God. The same thing is true for us. We must continue to praise and worship God when we're going through these rough times, when we're going through these dark nights, because God is worthy of it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Continually! It doesn't matter what we're going through. And by the way, these Hebrew Christians were suffering for their faith. The writer says, let's keep on. Let's keep on offering praise. And when you go to chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, he says, let's keep on assembling with the saints. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God has designed the worship assemblies of the local church to provide for us just exactly what we need when we're going through tough times. Edification. As we go through worship and we react to it in the right way and we participate in the right part, the right attitude, we're going to be edified by it. And we need that edification. So when we're going through these tough times, when we're in a moment of distress, David, how do we find the joy? How do we find the peace? David would say, get into the house of God and worship. Go worship God. And that's where you find that joy. And that's where you find that peace. And then finally, he says, put your trust in God. Why? David is no longer in control of this situation. He's left his fortress. He's left the capital. He's left the city. But the reality is that David was never really in control to begin with, was he? God is in control. And let's learn how to trust God to take care of us as He rules over the nations of men and as He brings about His will in this world. I want to read a few verses to you. Two of them from the Psalms. Psalm 55 and at verse 22. The 55th Psalm and at verse 22. Have you ever wanted to get away? I like that old ad campaign Southwest Airlines had recently. Feel like getting away? Want to get away? Something bad happens, embarrassing happens. Yeah, you want to get away. David felt that way. He says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest," verse 6. David felt that way, but he realized he couldn't run away from his problems. Instead, verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." And we serve the same God that David did. Can we trust in Him to do for us what He did for David? That depends on our faith. But He'll do it. Psalm 62 and at verse 8. Psalm 62 verse 8. "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us." Again, this important verse is Psalm 62 and at verse 8. "Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him." Isn't that where we started in this psalm? Hear my prayer, O God. Pour out your heart to God when you're going through these tough times. Not in a ritualistic, worded prayer. No, you go find God in a quiet place where you're alone with Him and you pour out your heart to God. And you trust in Him and God will see you through. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, the New Testament chimes in on this. 1 Peter, chapter 4, and verse 19, "Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." David, how do we get through this? How do we get from distress to joy and to peace? Well, we need to walk in the fear of the Lord and dare not compound the problem by committing sin. We need to meditate in our own heart upon our own bed. We need to be calm. We need to keep worshiping God in spirit and truth. and we need to trust in Him. And that's the pathway to finding joy and finding peace in this world that gives us darkness and pain. Well, the end of the psalm, verses 6 through 8, we see that David finds his joy and his peace. Verse 6 is an interesting verse. He echoes perhaps the thought that is coming from some of the men who's with him. Well, who will show us any good? Here we are, we're running away from Absalom and from all the people in Jerusalem. Who's going to show us any good? Well, God's going to. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, David asked in verse 6. That might not mean a lot to us on this side of the cross, but in the Old Testament, that phrase is used quite often to refer to the blessings of God's presence and approval. His face shine upon you. His countenance shine upon you. That was a blessing that Aaron and the priest were told to give to the children of Israel. There's something very similar to it in the New Testament, though, that we are familiar with. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who's going to help us? God is going to help us. God will see us through. And in verse 7, we see that David's distress was replaced with joy and with gladness. He talks about more so than the time that their grain and their wine increased. The harvest time was a time of joy and celebration. In our world today, in our country today, in our culture today, a lot of the county fairs are held at the end of the summer, aren't they? Going into the fall. It's tied back to that harvest time. That time of celebration, that time to rejoice. David says, that's a joyful time, no doubt. But the joy that I get from the assurance that God is watching over me and taking care of me is greater than anything like that. It's greater than any festival that anyone can have. When our faith realizes that God is in control, then we can have that joy. That joy isn't based upon outward circumstances. That joy is based upon knowing that we're in fellowship with God and He's watching over us. That's where that joy comes from. And then in verse 8, David's distress is replaced with peace. He says, I can sleep. If you look at the third psalm, he says that he can sleep because he realizes that God is his shield. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. Think about that picture, that idea that David is out there in the wilderness. He's lying down to sleep with nothing above him but the night sky. But God is a shield to him. And he can sleep knowing that God is taking care of him. Not only that, Paul says that we can have that peace as well. We can have that same kind of peace that David found out there in the wilderness. And it's found the same way for us that David found it, is through prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's exactly what David's doing in this psalm. And notice, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's exactly what David finds in this psalm. He's in distress. He calls upon God. And God gives him joy and gives him peace. And the reason this is recorded for us, the reason it's in our Bibles, is so that we can find the same thing when we're going through the same times in our life. I want you to notice something as we draw this to a close. The problem that caused David's distress did not go away. Did you get that? Absalom was still revolting. His former friends and allies were still committing treachery. The people, by and large, were still opposing David. The problem didn't go away, but David still found his joy and his peace. And sometimes we get it in our minds that the only way we can be happy in this life, the only way that we can find any peace, is if the things that are troubling us, they're resolved and they're taken out of the way. And the Bible tells us it doesn't work like that. God has never promised to deliver our problem away from us, But He has promised to deliver us through our problem. And until we realize that, we're not going to find joy. And we're not going to find peace. Joy and peace do not come because God removes our problems. Joy and peace come by learning how to trust in God to see us through those problems, to sustain us as we have to go through those dark nights in our lives. And those nights come. Sometimes they come in waves, it seems. Sometimes they come more often than what we think we can bear. But we must remember that the Lord will never lay anything upon us that we cannot handle, that we cannot bear. And let's remember that in Psalm 4, verses 4 and 5, David, who's been there before, lays it out for us. Just exactly what we have to do to find that joy and to find that peace, to make it through that dark night, to weather that storm and get to that calm shore on the other side. We have God. Let's learn to trust in Him. I thank you so much for your kind attention. There are some who need this message today. There are others who need to remember it because you'll need it someday. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anyone here who's not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, you need to become one. We've sung a lot about heaven this morning. We've talked about being ready, talked about the great day that is coming. You need to be prepared for that. If you're not a Christian, you don't have God looking over you. You don't have that assurance of prayer. You don't have what you need to get you through this life and to be ready to go to what is better, to what is awaiting us when this life is over. You believe Jesus is the Son of God? Why don't repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized so those sins can be washed away? If you're unfaithful, why not make things right? If you're overwhelmed, why not let us pray for you? Whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.